Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. Today, we also come knowing that God has called the church through His Son, our Lord and Savior, with three commands we are to go into this world. For those three commands sum up all of the scriptures, all of the law, and all of the prophets. And those three commands we know very well are love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, we find ourselves doing exactly that into our Advent season. And this Sunday, we're going to be preaching on finding hope. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're going to be in the fifth chapter, as I've already instructed our congregation here. And glad to have you joining us out there on internet land. And I pray that these words would touch your heart just as much as if you were here yourselves, for in the Spirit you are here with us. From the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 11. And let us hearken our hearts unto the word of the Lord. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone might dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Finding hope in this world only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot find hope in anything else. Every other type of hope that is ever looked at in this world is a temporal hope. It is a hope in the things of this world. That's why the only place we can find true hope, lasting hope, eternal hope, is to turn to something, or rather, someone who is eternal. We must understand that all the things of this earth are going to pass away. Earth itself will remain, but even it is going to be remade. The face of this earth is going to be remade. It's already been remade once. It's going to be remade a second time. And then it's going to be remade a final and third time when all sin is done away with. So what is the foundation upon which we must stand? If all these things that we run after in this life are going to pass away, how can we have faith in a job? How can we have faith in a college degree? Or have hope, I should say, not faith, have hope. We put our hope in so many things. As a parent, how many of us put hope in our children? You know, we hope that they will have things better than we did. How's that working out for us? It seems like the better our kids do, the better things, the worse things fall apart. Because we're not hoping in righteousness, we're hoping in sin-filled flesh. And we need to understand that is why hope falls apart. Any hope in this world is going to fall apart because it is all about man-made stuff. and nothing we have created, nothing, and we haven't really created anything. I mean, you know, it's the old story of the scientist who was going to show him how to create life. And the guy said, wonderful, let me see how you do it. So he goes and he gets his test tubes and his beakers, and he says, whoa, 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 that's God's stuff. Make your own. We need to remember, everything that we see here is a product of God, and then we have manipulated it. And that manipulation is where sin enters in. Can I get an amen? And that's what we all need to remember. Only that which is eternal, which has been right since before the foundation, is that only thing which is yet right. For sin hath touched everything in creation. We're going to look at that here a little bit later. And I don't know if many of us understand that. But when we read this one scripture we're going to read a little bit later, I'm going to be pointing it out. Because I want you to see that the creation was subject to this because of us. Because of our choices. It wasn't made that way. We weren't made that way. But we made a choice. And we need to understand that choice floods down into everything we were given authority over. Was not man given authority over all creation? Yeah. So it floods down. So therefore, anything we try to create, anything we manufacture, whether it's an idea or an actuality, there is no hope in it. There cannot be. Only God can bring us hope. As we find this hope, it is understanding. And I love what it says here. How many of us realize that, you know, hey, this is something else, because this hope sounds like it's hard work. How many of you read that here? This hope is not, you know, it's not the world's hopium that you take this and everything's going to be peachy keen and flowers and roses and unicorns and lucky charms, right? No. What does this word tell us? This word literally tells us that we are going to find ourselves having to work. And not only this, but we also exalt in our what? Tribulations. How many of you find hope in your tribulations? Do you realize that it is in our tribulations that God transforms the man, the woman, to become part with him, to teach us the valuable lessons? How many of you loved going to school every day? Now, I know there's a bunch of you out here in this world. There's a bunch of you out there on internet land. And pardon me, we used to call, you know, I used to be one, a nerd, right? Bookworms, you know, we would sit there, study everything. We loved it, okay? I'll be honest with you, I hated school until I went to Votech. Then once I started learning a trade, man, I fell in love with school. And I got straight A's because I wanted to get out on co-op. I had a driving force, you know, it was called money. And it's so amazing because we find that in our lives. But one of the awesome things is understanding that all of this stuff, it brings about tribulation in our lives. We got to work through it. We've got to get through it. You know, once you start working, how many of you out there realized, you know, when you're young, you tell your parents, well, you can do whatever you want. And we laugh at them, don't we? I didn't understand that until I became one. One what? An adult. Because I'll tell you right now, life is filled with tribulations. And tribulation is filled, we know, with perseverance. Because you have to keep on keeping on. Can I get an amen? We cannot stop. Our world thinks that you can. I mean, that seems to be the new mindset. Has anybody noticed that, or is it just me? Where the world thinks, well, I can just still live in grandma and grandpa's or mom and dad's basement, you know, and have my own kids and wife, and, you know, they'll just keep taking care of us. That ain't the way it works. Because somewhere, sooner or later, mom and dad ain't going to be able to pay the bills because we's getting a little bit older. You know, I just told one of the elders, yeah, I officially turned old last week. You know, I hit 60. So now I'm old. I laugh because when we were growing up, how many of you think about that stuff? When I was in my teens, my parents were old. My parents were only 20 years older than me. I'd look at them like, oh, they're old people. They don't understand. And then I'd look at my grandparents. They were 20 years older than my parents. They're really old. And then I looked at my great-grandparents, and they were 20 years older than my great-grandparents or than my grandparents. And I thought they were dinosaur people. And believe it or not, I actually had great-great-grandparents alive until I was 2 and a half. Now, I don't remember them, but if that's the case, that my great-grandparents were old as dinosaurs, my great-great-grandparents must have been here when God spoke and started it all. I mean, it's just, it's so weird. We understand. It's got to keep on. It starts with perseverance. It starts with tribulation, goes to perseverance. And then from perseverance, we know that brings about proven character. And that's my point. Because then proven character brings us hope. God is working all this stuff out. You can hope. How many of you, as younger people, started hoping in, as I just said earlier, for myself, according to my notes, I was hoping in the money I was going to make going to Votech and learning a trade. How many of us have hoped in those things, only to find that those things let us down? Because how many of you are working at the first job you started with when you started working? I don't see any hands going up. Now, years ago, I mean, my great-grandfather literally started working at a company in New Freedom, Pennsylvania called the Insulator. And they were a steel manufacturer. He retired from there. He got 45 years in that place. That doesn't happen anymore. But in those 45 years, he lost fingers, okay? He got old, and he got wore down. How many of us go through life and we feel like we've lost some parts of ourselves along the way? Do you get my point in saying that? I mean, my great-grandfather, he literally did lose fingers in the machinery and what have you. But we lose parts of ourselves along the way. And that's what life has a tendency to do to us. That's why we become disillusioned with the things that we hope in this world. But we must understand that as God brings about these tribulations, he allows them to come, and we walk in perseverance, we end up finding ourselves being given what? Proven character. Because if we trust in him, he will prove himself to be what? True, faithful, and the list goes on. Amen? He is always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, there are times we may feel like he's out there somewhere, but who has left whom? In those instances, I think it's funny because I'm watching expressions right now, and man, a lot of us have been there, haven't we? Yeah, we got it. And it's so amazing because when you're going through those tribulations and you think God's out there, we blame it on him. But it's not until he has given us that proven character that we realize, oh my goodness, I'm the one that walked away, not him. He was right there the whole time, just waiting for me as the prodigal son, to turn around and come to him. So when we look at this, we must understand that this proven character, this perseverance, these tribulations that come in life, everything that we would normally hope in will be broken. For we only find hope through our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what I just read to you. Because it is the only place that we can turn at the end of it all, and he is still there. Right there. In fact, he's been here the whole time. And if it weren't for him, we wouldn't have made it through. And the amazing thing is that same statement applies to every human being on the planet, whether you are in Christ or not. Because God sustains us. Everything that is, the air that we breathe, the food that we partake, all comes from his common grace. Can I get an amen? Without his common grace, the sun wouldn't shine and our planet would die. And you and I can't do anything about that, but he has. He has set these things in eternity. Therefore, our hope must be in eternal things. However, we need to understand, and we've just read this, that finding hope comes at a cost. I want you to think about that. Turn in your Bibles, just back a couple chapters to Romans chapter 8. Just back a couple chapters, Romans chapter 8, beginning in the 18th verse. Beginning in the 18th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we read these words. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation awaits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes in what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. We are in the midst of a spiritual and physical battle, and that is exactly what this scripture is talking to us about, that there is a battle that each and every one of us are going through. The story is told that when we get to heaven, one moment in the glory of God will outweigh a lifetime of tribulation. Can you imagine what it would be to stand before a holy God who loves you so much that he created all this, tolerated all this, sent his son to die for all this just so he can love you? Right now, what is holding back God's love from reaching us in that manner? Our sin. God cannot enter before us. God the Father, his complete love, his full glory cannot enter before us. If it did, it would consume everything. So he is separated from us. He is in the third heaven. And we are here on this earth. And there's a chasm between us. What's that chasm called? It's the second heaven. For the first heaven is our atmosphere. The second heaven is space between. And the third heaven is out there somewhere. And yet, I believe it's right here around us because it's the spiritual, physical separation. And when we understand that the things that we are going to go through here on this earth are the things, that's the cost that I'm speaking of. I have told you, congregation, I've told you out there on the internet, salvation is free. It is a gift. It is free. But it will cost you everything because we have got to lay it all down. Just as Jesus Christ laid it all down and went to the cross. Please remember, nobody put him on the cross. He had at his disposal all the angels of heaven. He could have defeated them with a word. He created everything with a word. He could have defeated them with one word. He went for one reason. Love. Love put him on the cross. Because he knew we needed the hope that would come from that love. True hope. Hope that lasts. Hope that does not fade. Hope that does not tarnish. Hope that does not disappoint. How many of us have hoped in things in our lives only, or in people, or in jobs, or in situations, only to be hurt by those very same things? It's going to cost us because we got to go through all that stuff. You know, it's we call it the School of Hard Knocks. How many of you are graduating from the School of Hard Knocks? Okay? You know, when I do a graduation service for believers, I don't call it a funeral service. When I do a departure service for a believer, it's called a graduation service. Because they have graduated from the School of Hard Knocks and are now receiving their diploma, which is the crown of glory in heaven with the Father, where he said to the thief on his right side, "Surely I tell you, you will be with me in paradise this day." Because we got to check out from this one to get into that one. It's going to cost us. I mean that. Do you understand? It has a physical cost. It has a spiritual cost. But we've got to be willing to pay the price just as God paid the price. And the harder it gets, the closer we are to receiving it. How many of you have noticed that as you get older, life gets a little bit more difficult? You know, isn't it supposed to be easier? You know, I look at our folks here and, you know, and I are one, the gray-haired section, okay? And we call it the golden years. Why do we call it? It's supposed to be glorious, right? That's what we were all promised. But they're the tough years. But they're also the easier years in our faith. That's one of the things that I've come to understand. They are my golden years in that my faith has grown so much that I can look in the face of it and laugh. And I can say, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. This body can pass away. In fact, the sooner it happens, the quicker I'll be in glory. But until I get there, I've got a work to do here. Amen? And in that work, may I be found faithful to hear on that great and faithful day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want God to smile when I enter heaven. I don't want him to look at me like, "What are you doing here?" I don't think anybody gets that, not from a loving God, amen? I think when we get there, he doesn't care how we got there, that we got there. Because we all come one way only, through faith in his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And the hope that he gives us is what gets us there. It is the first of our defenses in Christ. We need to understand, I'm going to be talking about four different attributes: hope, peace, love, and joy through Advent. Do you understand they are weapons? They are our spiritual weapons. God has given us spiritual weapons that we can make it through this life. You know, we often think of prayer as a weapon. We often think of reading the scripture as a weapon because that's our sword, amen? That's our sword, okay? And our faith, that's our shield. Well, within that faith, there are several portions that are also their own weapons. Because when doubt comes your way, what do you throw at it? Hope. I want you all to think about that. What do you throw when these things come at you and you start to feel depressed, you start to feel that woe me, you throw hope. And I'm going to show you throughout these next weeks that sometimes you need to pull out peace. Sometimes you need to grab a hold of the joy. You know, I have a dear sister here that constantly says, "Don't let him rob your joy." Well, that means joy has to be something that you can move back and forth. And, you know, that's a weapon. You know, it's something you can use. It's also something you can lose. But praise be to God, all we got to do is turn back to him and he'll give us more. He'll give us more hope. He'll give us more joy. He'll give us more peace. He'll give us more love. And all of these things are weapons to be used in this world for our own safety. They're part of our armor. They're a part of our armor. Is that not what the shield of faith is? Is it not a piece of our armor? That's why it is so important to take up the shield of faith every day. We need to understand that when we look at what's going on in our world, we caused this. Did you read this scripture here with me where it says about the creation groaning because of him who subjected it? Who subjected it? We did. Wait, what? Did not God give dominion of the earth to man? So therefore, when man fell, guess what fell with him? Everything under him. Therefore, what we see happening in our world, the thorns and the thistles that have come up in our lives. How many of us understand that, you know, thorns and thistles, you know, when it speaks of that in the book of Genesis as the part of the curse, okay? That was talking about the sin and all the issues that were going to come. Not just physical thorns and thistles, but we're talking spiritual thorns and thistles that each and every one of us creates through our own actions and the actions of generations past because they've built upon this stuff. We need to understand the very world we live in looks for the day of our redemption because our redemption means its redemption. I think it's funny. They want to tell us that, you know, oh, global climate change. You know, it's our fault. Yeah, it is. It is. Because we broke this world. And we continue to break it. We do dumb stuff thinking we're so smart. I mean, this is how smart we are. We take the most volatile reaction known to man that we can contain, which is called nuclear fission. And what do with it? We create steam to make electricity. How long does it take for that nuclear waste to break down and no longer be harmful to the environment? Scientists say 300 to 500 years. I invariably tell you, we don't know because nobody's made it through. So we have no idea. We do dumb things expecting good results, only to pass on the penalties of those things to generations to come. We need to understand the only place that we find hope, hope lasting, hope eternal, is in hope that comes from eternal source. And that is Jesus Christ. When we see this truth and understand this truth, God will open our eyes to see that finding hope is alive. It is not a dream. How many of you understand that principle? How many of you understand that principle? Hope comes to us from our world. It's a dream. We hope in the job that we're going to have out there somewhere, and we have no idea if we're going to get laid off. Okay? I hope in my children. I have no idea if my children are going to disappoint me. You know, I think about these things, and I think about people in time past whose children grew up to be serial killers. And et cetera, et cetera. How much of a disappointment have children been to their parents? I look at my own life when I think about that stuff. During their life, I was a great disappointment to my parents. Now, my parents have passed and my life has changed. I pray that in glory that they see that something's made a difference. But guess what? It wasn't me. It was God in me. Can I get an amen? Because it was only in coming to Christ that I truly changed for the better. And that's what I want us to understand. Turn in your Bible. This is my last scripture. It's just one scripture. And Chuck, I'm jumping to the last one there, which is the 1 Peter 1 and 3. 1 Peter 1 and 3. And it's just one sentence. Well, actually, I think it's two sentences. 1 Peter 1 and 3. Because this is something I want us to understand. The hope we have is alive. It is alive. What do I mean by that? Verse 3, 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Brothers and sisters, that is living hope. Jesus is alive. He is not dead. He is eternally here. He will always be here. He has always existed. We need to understand, we do not dream hope. We know hope. How do we know hope? What is God's name? What name was given to the Lord Jesus prior to his birth? And I'm not talking Yeshua, okay? It tells us in the book of Isaiah, and he shall be called Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means God with us. Well, I want you to understand that in the Hebraic terms. Remember what I said. God with is present case. That means he's here now. And Jesus said to us, and I will send one, the Holy Comforter, who will come from the Father and from me, and he will be what? With you, and he will be in you. Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. He is in us. We are alive in Christ, and he is alive in us. We do not hope in a dream. We hope in the reality that we know because he knows us and we know him. How many of you know what I'm talking about right now? Because that is the hope of glory that we have, knowing. You know, I've talked with people, well, how can you know you're going to heaven? Man, ask me that question and let me tell you no lie. Because I know I'm going to heaven. How do I know that? Good glory. I know what he's doing in me and through me. I mean, he's still healing this leg. He has healed me so many times. I cannot but trust in him, for I know he is the righteousness of all eternity. For I know whom I have believed and convinced that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto him unto that day. Can I get an amen? That is finding hope. God in us. There is no other. Pray with me. Father God, we speak your glories. Father God, we lift our hearts in praise. Father God, we thank you for your Son, our Savior, who has given us hope, and hope that does not disappoint, but hope that achieves the goal of changing our souls, both now and for all time, to the glory of your name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.